Hi everyone. So, as we weren't able to perform in the theatre anymore due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the episodes from now on were recorded online and streamed. You can catch us every other Friday live at 8 p.m. British time on the Bristol Improv Theatre's Twitch channel. The episodes will also be available on the Bits YouTube channel a few days after the live shows. To find us, just search for the Bristol Improv Theatre, that's Bristol, B-R-I-S-T-O-L, in either Twitch or YouTube. You're listening to Tiger Demon King, Part 1. Cue the music!
Welcome to the Tales of Adventure podcast. We follow the amusing and often absurd adventures of Bagsy Badly, Trim Tosscobble, the Reverend Hatchet, and Jeffrey Banjo, as they haphazardly muddle their way through a world full of magic, mystery, and mischief.
Dawn of time, people have told stories of great heroes and terrible villains. Since approximately, hang fire. I'll hang your fire.
Why are we hanging fire?
What do you know?
We're on.
One of these days, I will start an intro and I will finish that intro immediately without immediately descending into nonsense that ruins my gravitas. I'm going to do it again. Since the dawn of time, people have told stories of great heroes and terrible villains. Since approximately the 1970s, people have used role-playing games to create their own stories, escaping into worlds of fantasy where wizards and warriors, orcs and elves, and even dragons and dungeons take center stage. Tonight's story will be one of many such tales of adventure. These are our heroes, if such a term can be used for such strange characters. Jeffrey Banjo, half-elf bard.
Well, everybody, I feel like such terms can be used for us because we've been quite heroic recently, you know. Well, especially me. I've been actually identified as the person with the purest of heart. And that obviously means because I'm a hero, because I've got a lot of valor, and because, you know, I'm just a generally all right guy. And there's no other meaning to that at all. Bit scared of this tiger bloke, though. Let's see how that goes. Never faced one of them before, but...
Reverend Hatchet, Veggie Pygmy Druid.
Good evening. I was feeling really pretty confident. I'm... myself, obviously familiar with turning into creatures, so a large kind of tiger-type creature-type man-type thing, you know, it hasn't perturbed me too much, but he is quite large, so we'll see how the confidence goes. We'll roll with it. It's fine.
Trim Tosscobble, halfling rogue / barbarian / warlock.
I'm Trim. I am not myself because I don't have any money anymore. I just have a bag full of crunchy, dumbass seashells, and it is not okay. I just feel like I'm carrying around a rucksack full of hatred and loss. So, not really. Like, maybe a fight wouldn't be so bad. Maybe it'd be good just to let out some of the rage. I can feel the rage coming on now. I'll save it for later.
And finally, Bagsy Badly, half-orc paladin.
Hi guys, I'm Bagsy Badly. I like smashing things, you know, skulls, some of that sweet ass. Gonna try and do some of that now. We'll see how it goes, but we'll have fun.
And I, of course, am the dungeon master who controls the reality of the world and narrates the outcome of our heroes' actions, rolling the very dice that determine their success or failure. I, too, recently have entered the plot in some ways, as I have started no longer concealing the fact that I want all of them dead. What you gonna do? Tonight's story is part 3 of season 11, and it is entitled Tiger Demon King. Oh, it's a show. When last we met our heroes, they were facing perhaps their doom once and for all, as they had been tricked into an ambush by Low Blow Watkins, a man they had thought was a mere fortune teller, but actually in secret was an evil tiger demon known as a Rakshasa. He's got a tiger's face for a face, the body of a man, and his hands are on like backwards, so his right hand is a left hand and his left hand is a right hand. Spooky. Indeed, our heroes find themselves on the top of the demonic tower that they had invaded so recklessly mere hours ago, faced with the towering, humongous form of a silk-clad, tiger-headed monster. The thing leans down towards the four of you, standing as you are like tiny specks before his gigantic face. And he says, well, before I kill you, can I get you anything? I mean, I don't want this to be personal, you know. It's just really between you and this master fellow. I'm just very much the messenger, except the message is death.
Right, and what is he actually giving you? What are you getting out of this?
Phenomenal cosmic power! Which is great, because I have a small amount of cosmic power already, and I'd like more.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I mean, has he defined exactly the volume of cosmic power? I mean, phenomenal. I mean, that could be, you know, some.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it sounds like you've not got that really tied down. In
well, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. I don't think there is an agreed metric for measuring cosmic power.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How do you know you're going to get so much? You might just get a little bit.
I mean, every little bit counts, you know. You just got to save up and save up and save up, and then eventually you've got enough cosmic power that you can just tell anyone to do anything and they do it. That's the dream. I humbly dream of a time where I could tell anyone to do anything and they'd have to do it. Just on a whim.
You know, the other way to do that is to ask nicely.
Manners cost nothing.
While this is all going on, he seems quite distracted. I'm going to crawl up his trouser leg because I'm really small and I don't think he's been paying attention because I've not said anything.
Okay, to crawl up his trouser leg, you would have to first climb down from the tower to where his trousers are on the floor.
He's not with us. I thought he was up in the tower.
He's so huge that he is standing on the ground next to the tower and is leaning over the top of it.
Has he got like a casual pose at all? Is it like any of his sleeves like over the tower?
I mean, you know what? Yeah, he's leaning an elbow on the top of the tower.
Kind of like, okay. So I'm gonna sneak into his sleeve. In fact, I've got a knife for killing. I'm gonna cut open his sleeve so I don't have to go all the way in, poke my way in it, and then that way I'm like in the elbow.
Okay. You're able to cut open his sleeve a little bit, and there's enough room for you to slide down in there. Are you just gonna jump in his sleeve?
I'm gonna make my way downwards. For okay. Now.
So Bagsy walks up to this cavernous sleeve and kind of cuts it open a little bit to make some room and just crawls inside it. Bagsy, you make it a little way, but then it gets a bit steeper and you're struggling to cling on. It's going to be pretty tough for you to not slide all the way down.
Well, that's all right. I've got my knife for killing. I'll use it to, you know, slow the motion if needed.
You're going to slow the motion?
Slow the motion.
Stabbing it
like
into
a drag.
His arm.
No, just stabbing it into his clothing that he's wearing.
Oh, like a pirate sliding down a sail.
Yeah, exactly that.
Great reference.
Yes. Love that.
Okay, so you slide down. And you slide down for a long time, longer than you would thought possible, given that, you know, he's big, but like he's not like huge big. And you've been sliding for like a minute now.
Mm. Wow, that is a long time.
Jeffrey, Trim, Reverend, Bagsy crawls into his sleeve and then doesn't come out again.
I'm going to send a message to Bagsy and be like, if you're okay, give us some kind of sign.
Yeah, maybe I'm done. I'm a chill girl.
Okay. She's fine. She's cool. Chill.
Cool. Great.
And at that point, we're still like chatting to him, I guess, about...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's still like just, you know, being quite reasonably friendly. I mean, I'm going to kill you anyway, but I feel like I could, you know, try and give you an entertaining, say, 90 to 100 minutes out of it, maybe with a little break in the middle. It was part of the deal, really.
Yeah, like a feature-length play.
Yes, yes, you know, make a show of it. I like to think of myself as something of a showman. Plainly, you wish you were.
I'm the dragon bard, mate. Says
yes, yes. Yes, you are. He reaches down and pats you on the head with just one finger.
You know, that hurts quite a lot, actually, you know.
Yes, I mean, yes, yes. It's consider it a preview.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Of the horrible death you're going to receive.
Am I still sliding, or have I stopped sliding now?
You are still sliding, and you're beginning to wonder if it was a good idea to crawl into his sleeve.
Cool, okay. Can I see anything? Like, am I seeing arm hair, chest hair, pubic hair?
Quite a hairy guy, isn't he? Quite a hairy chest.
You'll see, in fact, you can see far below you what's like a small, tiny pinprick of light, and it's growing larger and larger and larger. You think you're getting close to the end of his sleeve?
Oh.
And then finally you shoot from the end of the sleeve like a pea out of a pea shooter or a bullet out of the barrel of a gun. Or a spitball out of like a straw in the middle of a school. And you fall, and you fall, and you fall until you land on top of the tower behind Geoffrey and Trim and Reverend Hatchet with a thud.
Out of the same sleeve? Or has she gone like all the way around?
You fell out of the sky.
Just out of midair. Just sort of, yeah. Oh, there she is.
Just plop.
Yeah. Oh, look. She's back.
You're going to kill us anyway, so you might as well explain everything in detail with lots of exposition. What happened there?
Well, I asked you I could get you anything, you know, just a little, anything to make your deaths more palatable for you, and you crawled into my sleeve. I interpreted that kind of quite passively as a request to just spend some time in a sleeve.
Oh, okay.
And then I did it for you. Wasn't that nice? And now you're back with your friends, and it's still inevitable that you are going to die.
Well, in that case, instead of me just like sliding around your sleeve, I'd quite like to spend some more time in your sleeve. Can I hop back in there?
You know, sure, just spend as long as you need. Just jump on in, and you'll come right out the top again. Ready? Hop in. Hop. Hop in. There you go. She's got the spirit of it. What about the rest of you? Where's your sense of adventure?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking at the moment. we've got like 90 minutes or something before you're going to kill us. Why don't we all just team up for a little bit and epically do loads of adventures with your cosmic power and help? I'll write it down in the old journal. We'll see what we can do. We can make some memories. We can make some legends. We can do some awesome stuff. And then you can kill us afterwards. But, you know.
That's great.
While that's happening, I've got my other knife for killing because I've got three. And now I'm just stabbing.
What, the sleeve?
No, his flesh this time.
Oh, I see. That is a hit. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's very easy to stab someone's arm from the inside of their sleeve.
Yeah.
And I kind of.
What I'm kind of hoping is that I'll nick a vein or an artery, and then I can pull it out. And just maybe chew on it.
Has he still got a hole in his heart? Like that?
Oh, his chest area.
Oh, yeah. He does not have a hole in his heart. He now appears to have a normal human man chest covered in fine silken shirt.
Ah.
What colour is the shirt? Is it purple?
Sure, yes.
Huh.
What, do you want it to be purple?
Yeah, purple's great. Yeah,
that's like luxurious, colour, isn't it?
That's your preferred colour for demon tiger face.
That's how I'm seeing it. I am seeing it purple, like silk purple. Maybe even like leopard print. I don't know.
Leopard print.
Leopard print.
Tiger can't wear leopard print.
Well, it's that kind of like clash chic, you know, when you like you clash so much. It's a fashion statement. I feel like he thinks he is cool enough to pull that off. That's the impression
I
get.
Point.
How is my stabbing going?
Oh yeah.
Well, you stab and you stab and you stab and loads of blood covers out and it's all spurting out. It's like a water slide now.
Oh golly.
But then, after roughly the same amount of time, again, there's a light from below you, and it grows up and up and up and up and up, and you fall out of the air and on the tower, poof, behind everyone. Except this time, you're covered in blood. There she is again. Great.
Have you been reborn, Bagsy?
No, I think she was looking for some stabbing this time, so I obliged her.
Oh, I mean, you're very obliging.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the polite thing to do. The alternative, I suppose, would be just to kill you now, but I feel like that would be boring.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
And rude.
Yes, and rude, when we were having such a nice conversation.
Can I cast Zone of Truth, please?
You certainly can. That's only a second level spell slot. You've got a bunch of those. He would normally need to make a spell save on... But he just doesn't. I'm going to tell you now.
It's very arrogant.
Does that, yeah?
So confident. I told you, he's overconfident.
Yeah, I actually found that a huge turn off.
It's not hot.
No,
not cricket.
Trim, you fail your save against the Zone of Truth. Oh. You and only you are required to tell the truth.
Damn it.
Until Bagsy stops concentrating on the spell.
But he didn't bother, so he has to tell the truth, right? Or is he just
So you know if someone's passed or failed their save. You know that Jeffrey and Reverend Hatchet successfully managed to resist having to tell the truth. You know that Trim can't resist telling the truth. But as far as you're concerned, the Rakshasa just doesn't care. Not only is he not affected, he didn't even have to try to resist.
Oh.
He kind of chuckles a little bit. He's like, that's cute. That's a cute spell you got there. Hey, you, the tiny one with the spiky hat. Which, if you had to kill one of your friends, which one would it be?
That's you, Trim.
I would probably kill... I'd kill Jeffrey Banjo, and I'm sorry.
What? We're the Crowbar twins.
He's my Crowbar twin, but I see him as a threat to me.
Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Hang on, two seconds. Just, I got to do something. He turns away and snaps his backwards fingers, and then suddenly you're no longer atop a tower in an infinite white void, and he's no longer the size of a building. Instead, you find yourselves in half a room, like a very plush, nice room, lovely wallpaper, bookshelves on one wall, a long, low couch that Jeffrey is lying back on, and another one opposite Jeffrey, where Trim is reclining. In the midst of the two sits the Rakshasa, still in his silks, but this time holding a notepad and a pen. He turns to Jeffrey and he says, "And Jeffrey, how does that make you feel?" In front of you, you can see out across a wide open space filled with chairs where a crowd of dimly visible figures sits in the darkness. You can scarcely see them through the bright lights shining in your face. Just off to one side, Reverend Hatchet, Bagsy, you are sitting, waiting, ready, watching. You're not in the audience and you're not on the stage, as it were, but you could get on the stage if you wanted. Jeffrey, it's got to be pretty rough. She says she'd kill you.
Oh, that's what the notepad was. I thought you were drawing me or something like that.
Like one of his French girls.
Reclined.
I could draw you if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
Not like that. Not like that.
To be honest, though, I'm pretty. I was a little bit hurt to begin with, but I'm pretty flattered that I was the. I was the one that she picked as a threat.
Okay.
Can you say more about that, Trim?
Do you see Jeffrey as a threat?
I find him threatening because I am roguish and sneaky, and if he's roguish and sneaky, he's going to be better at it than me, and then I get very attacky when I feel threatened.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I just don't want him to be better. I just don't want him to be better at the only thing that I feel that I'm good at, really, is running around being sneaky and attacking. You know?
I'm gonna come up on stage and give Trim a little hug. I feel she needs one. I feel she needs one, you know.
Isn't that sweet, ladies and gentlemen of the audience? Isn't that sweet? Look, they're hugging it out. Jeffrey, nobody's hugging you.
I'll get there. Just she's having a crisis.
What does Reverend Hatchet feel like?
And he's gonna pat her on the back.
Have you ever had like a sweet potato that got like not quite off, but like going that way, and it was just a little bit squidgy, and there were the things growing out the top? It feels a lot like that.
So he's like chipping like a potato.
Yeah, yeah. But a pygmy Hatchet.
That's kind of nice.
Reverend Hatchet is a sweet potato.
Oh, yes, he is. That's true.
Sweet potato at one point.
Your fellow adventurer says that she feels threatened by your skills. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it? I'm not quite sure what's happening here. What, low blow? Is that your real name, by the way?
Oh, no, I made that up. I'm Ravana. Nice to meet you.
Ravana?
Ravana. That's right. Like, you've heard of me.
Ravana. Like Nirvana, yes. But Ravana.
Like what? Like the metaphysical concept of the peace that you can achieve beyond the endless cycle of Rio. No, I don't think that's cosmologically consistent with what we've set up here. There's.
I was just wondering if it rhymed rather than consistent.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Ravana like Nirvana. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What exactly are you doing here?
Well, like here right now, I'm the host of the show.
It's a show.
Is it like Jeremy Kyle? He's got some kind of...
I can tell that this kind of metafiction is confusing you. Let's do something simpler. He snaps his fingers again, and you are now, instead of being in a studio in front of a live audience, it's just the five of you. You four plus Ravana, and you're all sat around a campfire in the middle of the forest at night. It's pitch black, apart from the orange glow from the campfire around you, and you can hear dimly in the distance the sounds of the night birds calling and the rustling of the leaves in the trees.
Are we eating squirrel?
Sure you are. You can be eating squirrel if that is what you so desire. Just the five of us. Yeah. I mean, seven if you count the cat and the octopus, but I don't.
Fair enough. I'm just going to play the banjo then, in that case.
It's like the
right thing to do around a campfire and, you know, appropriate music.
That's the other reason I'd kill him of the group. It's the banjo.
I can see that.
You love my banjo music.
Ooh. Ask me if I love your banjo music. I'm in zone of truth. Ask me.
Let me just play something and then you answer honestly whether or not you love it. I'm gonna play one of my new songs that I've been working on recently.
What's it called? What's the title?
Banjo-yo. It's about somebody who had a banjo and invented it and put it on a little bit of a string, so that when he played the final instrument, he dropped it on the string and then it came back up again. So it kind of had like a reverb vibe. Yeah. Like a combination of a banjo and a yo-yo.
Inspired.
Jeffrey Banjo's performance bonus is 15, which is ridiculous. So even with a roll of 12, he gets 27. Trim, it's technically speaking, it is one of the most beautiful performances you've ever heard. I'm not going to say it makes you weep, But if people around you broke into tears, you wouldn't be like, why are they crying? You'd be like, it's because of how beautiful that banjo piece was. I'm not saying you have to like it, but you can't just say it's crap. That's because that's undeniably not true. You know he's good. It's like, you don't have to like Jimi Hendrix, but he's very technically proficient. That kind of deal.
See, Jeffrey, objectively, I know that it's good, and if others were crying, I would understand why. I wouldn't be like, why are they crying? I don't have to like Jimi Hendrix to know that he's good. I know that you are fairly talented. You're very talented, but I just don't like it. It's just not my taste. I prefer a bit of classical, a bit of that. It's just not very good. It's not nice to the ear.
Wow, that's rough.
What does everybody else think?
At least everyone else is going to leap to tell you how great it was.
No, I like it. I don't really. I kind of. I don't have as ears in the. I don't know if they work in the same way because I'm being a bit clumsy. But I like it. You know.
It was both technically proficient and good.
You're making me feel great.
Ravana.
What can I do for you, my stab happy friend?
Could you give us like 5 minutes just to have like a huddle? Like, you know, after adventures, we always have a huddle and we talk. It's kind of a private thing.
You want to take some time to plot against me?
We just want to tell Jeffrey that we like his music. I'm going to give some of my money to Trim because then she can die a bit happier. And I don't know what will make Robin Hatchett happy, but we just need a moment. You know, we just need a moment.
And it would make you feel better if I pretended that I couldn't, I didn't hear what was going on.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that, no problem. He claps his hands together, except he has to put backwardsly, and he vanishes.
Incredible.
Okay. Well, I feel like he can still hear us because he said he would pretend not to hear us.
Yes.
So, Trim, can you still hear my inner thoughts through your mind thingy that you cast?
No.
Can you cast that again?
What I cast was message, which I think only means that I can project a thing to your mind. I don't know if I can hear back. If you cast message, I don't think that's how it works.
I think you can chat back.
Can you chat back?
You can.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Okay.
Great. Yes, I can.
But it's only like 25 words.
Yeah, it's like a tweet. You have to really, really limit it down.
Okay. So I'm going to think something. You hear it.
Trim has to talk first.
Cast message, yeah.
Okay.
Ready, steady, go.
Oh, are you just saying ready, steady, go?
That was me thinking into your mind. Ready, steady, go.
I don't think my non-magical weapons work. Does anyone have magic weapons?
Well,
I've got the magic of music.
I have actual magic, but your actual magic didn't go super well.
I've got a feeling that's not going to cut it. But magical weapons might, because you did a melee attack and that didn't do anything with the stabby and the knife arm.
Yes. That's what I mean. I don't think non-magical.
You make things magic, being a paladin.
If you're talking about magical weapons, then Trim has a short sword that is magical. Bagsy's big hammer is magical. Jeffrey, your banjo is technically speaking a magic weapon.
Yeah, okay. It is.
What does Reverend Hatchett have?
I don't think Reverend Hatchett actually has a weapon. I think he's just carrying his own skull.
Yes. Tenacity is his weapon. Okay.
The power of love.
Has anyone encountered one of these thingies before?
No. Not in all my years. No.
So the magic weapons thing is a pump then.
Jeffrey might remember a bit about Rakshasas.
Okay, cool.
Well, you could make an Arcana skill check. You're not trained in it, but, like, you know.
Yeah, it's viable that I've been around. I've heard things. I've read stuff.
Am I anywhere near the ballpark of the weapons thing?
So, according to what Jeffrey knows about Rakshasas, they don't always have tigers for heads. Some of them apparently have all sorts of animals for heads. Lizards, vultures, they're mice, praying mantises.
I don't know how much that's helped us out, Jeffrey, if I am honest.
I'm just starting. This is just the start of the page.
Okay.
I'm getting down to it. Hang on. Okay. Bear with.
But yep. There's more. Also, Rakshasas are well known to be trickster demons. They're not like the big bite-your-face-off kind of demons or burn-you-to-death kind of demons. They're much more the kind of like tricksy, schemey villains.
Hmm.
Many of them are quite powerful illusionists and sorcerers. And they're very hard to kill.
Oh, I was going to say like Jeffrey until you said the last bit.
Yeah, I've never died.
Yeah, I know. You'd be really easy to kill on aim.
Actually, to be fair, amongst us as a group, I mean, he is actually doing really well on the not dying front, yeah. considering the tally of deaths.
I'm doing really well on the dying front as well. I've died the most.
Yeah, no, in the opposite.
Constantly underestimated me.
End of the spectrum, you know.
Gets all the hiding you do.
Dragonbard. The surviving Dragonbard. Is that what you said?
I said I think it's all the surviving. Hiding. The hiding.
I do survive quite a lot.
Hiding.
Yeah. I do survive.
There's a faint pop as Ravana reappears in front of you. How was that? Good scheming? I don't need to ask. I know. I was there. I was listening.
Yeah, I knew you were there. I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we...
We figured, but you know.
You got your smell.
Just thought we'd kind of, obviously we didn't say our real plan out loud because, you know, wouldn't want you to get frightened.
At this point, I kick the fire into his face and tell everyone to scatter run.
Good chap.
Fire.
You kick the fire and burning logs and ashes fly upwards and his fine silk clothes catch alight. And he is almost immediately engulfed in flames from head to toe, but he doesn't seem to be really bothered.
I'm hoping he doesn't have dark vision because it's nighttime because we're having a fire. So run, everyone, scatter.
He's just going to run off into the forest?
Yeah.
But it's an illusion forest.
Oh, no. I forgot about that.
I'm going to sort of stay and keep chatting to him.
I'm going to, while he's looking elsewhere, root around for worms and grubs in the soil nearby where we're sitting on. Just going to have a little ferret.
Might as well.
See, pick up any insects I can and just hide them away about my person.
There's a few insects and grubs. There's lots of worms, a couple of maggots.
Great, ants. Perfect. Love a maggot. They're coming with ants. Mm-hmm. 100%. You're on the team.
Prim, are you also scattering and hiding?
I think I'm going to approach Ravana and I'm going to be like, hey, I loved it when you gave my dear friend a ride and I would love to clamber up and I've never been tall. I'd love to know how that feels. Can I just climb up onto your nice furry head?
Bagsy, are you actually scattering and hiding in the forest?
Yes, I've hidden behind a tree.
Okay, it doesn't seem like everyone else got the memo.
So I'm winding about, listen to my plan.
Concealed behind a tree as Jeffrey and Trim talk to a burning cat man and Reverend Hatchet scrabbles in the dirt. Well, I too would like to be properly tall one day, but in the phenomenal cosmic power sense, and killing you guys will help me out with that. I'd make you taller if you'd like. I'd make you 7 foot tall. Would you like to be 7 foot tall?
I would love it. Thank you.
That would be a dream. It can be yours for the low, low price of... You remember earlier that you said if you had to kill one of your friends, it would be Jeffrey.
I do.
He's just... He's just here, aren't you, Jeffrey?
I am, yeah. I'm just here, Ravana. Yeah.
And you can be tall.
Being tall is just a whim and a fancy. It's not a lifelong dream. I've come to terms with it. So it's actually something that would be more of a fun... I'm not willing to actually kill Jeffrey.
Yeah, Mr. Ravana, you have misread the room there. That was not where that was. Yeah,
you're right. That is pretty rough. What if I were to tell you that wasn't just an instruction for me, but I was actually, again, acting as a sort of a messenger kind of a guy? A friend of mine called Stag asked me to tell you to kill Jeffrey.
Stag?
No, Skag with a K.
Skag, you remember? Tattoo I have.
Yeah.
You remember Skag, don't you, Trim?
I do. What did Skag say? Will Skag reward me? What's happened?
Basically, Skag owes me a favour, and I said, if I want one of these punks to do something, will you back that up? And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. She's pretty rubbish anyway. Never did more evil now than she did before. Her evil graph is just a flat line. It's pretty evil, but I was expecting a big spike after she sold her soul.
You got to think, haven't you, Ravana, really? If this all-powerful being that you've made a deal with was really powerful, why wouldn't they just kill us themselves?
Very good question.
You know, you got to sort of think, actually, are you probably more powerful than this? And they're just trying to trick you a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like a bit of a trickster style. Are you actually more powerful than that being?
Are we more powerful?
Hang on a minute. Sorry. You're making a very good point here, and I'd love to turn against my master in a dramatic twist. But the grub guy has made a very contentious proposition. Are you more powerful than me?
No, than the third party who's so scared of us, he's had to use you as a go-between. If he was all that, you know, if he wasn't so scared of us, maybe he'd come do it himself.
Why would he be scared of you? You're literally rooting around in the dirt.
Well, exactly. That's what you got to think. Why is it so important that he's got somebody as powerful as you coming along and trying to kill us? You know?
It's more fine.
It doesn't add up, really, does it?
It doesn't add up.
Do you know what? That is a very good point. Hang on. He pulls a scroll out of his pocket and unrolls it from him and regards it. He flips it over. He didn't really say.
This seems a really good moment that he is distracted. So I will get my maul
Bagsy
out.
Smash.
Bagsy smash time. I'll get my maul out and I will aim for the back of his head, you know, the brainy, gooey bit. And I will use a level 2 to pump me, you know, maul up.
Pump it up.
Pump it up.
In Dungeons and Dragons terms, I assume you mean smite rather than just pump you up.
Yes. That's what I said.
In fifth edition, the paladin comes with a new feature called pump me up. Well, he's not even looking in your direction, so it's pretty easy for you to whack him on the back of the head. You swing your mighty maul, and you're kind of... That's 26 damage. Yay. Right on the back of his noggin. And he kind of, his head jerks forwards, and he looks around at you, and he swings his hand at you, kind of like just a backhand slap.
His hands are backwards as well.
You're right, actually.
It's just a slap.
It's a backhand forehand slap.
Yeah.
Two negatives make a positive, yeah. That's
good. And his horrible claws rake across your face, dealing... Damn it, where is the flipping?
While you're doing that, is there... any, like, opening in his skull? Like, you know, Did 26 damage. Is there any fractures, any cuts?
Well, you take the grand total of 4 damage, which is almost nothing. You've got 82 hit points left. You can't see any damage on his head. In fact, it looks as though he's just perfectly unperturbed, and he turns to you and raises one eyebrow and goes, "Well, really? How rude. Do you really think that you're going to do anything to me like that?" The answer is no. Let me stop you there. It's no. I'm fine. I'm not hurt by that.
I mean, you look a little bit hurt.
You've got a little bit hurt.
You've got tears in your eyes.
I'm an ancient and powerful demon king. You think that I'm some kind of like stupid little demon with some kind of stupid weakness, like being hit on the back of a head by a hammer?
Yeah.
That's dumb. That's so stupid.
I mean, it's an absolute classic, to be fair.
All the good demons have really impressive weaknesses that would be hard to guess.
Doodling. Loaka.
What would be like an impressive weakness then? What would be a cool weakness?
Yes, what weakness?
What kind of thing would that be if you were a cool demon?
Well, yeah, what is the best?
Well,
I knew a guy once in Demon College whose secret weakness was being reminded of things that he'd done in the previous years of his life. Death by cringing, he said.
That sounds pretty tough. Pretty tough weakness. Is it the coolest? Is it the coolest?
You know, I mean, other people have got, you know, okay weaknesses, but what's the coolest weakness? You know, what's that real hot? All the demons are like, oh man. I mean, I've got a weakness, but it's not that.
Pewter's pretty cool. It's a cool weakness. Lots of cool people have that as a weakness. I don't. You trying to make me tell you my weakness, huh?
No, I was just chatting some stuff.
That's pretty insulting. You know what? You rule. Every time I feel like you're not taking me seriously, I'm going to claw part of your face off. His horrible backwards hands lash out at you, Hatchet, and he claws part of your face off.
Is it his old face or his new face?
His new face. Your old face comes off the top of your new face and tumbles to the ground. Oh. How about that?
It'll take a long while,
but I could kill you this way. Just, you know, let you sass yourselves to death.
I'm going to pick up my old face and plunk it back on top where it belongs, like my little hat.
Like a lovely beret. Made of your previous bones.
It looks lovely. It looks lovely, Reverend. Very jaunty.
Skull cap.
Thank you.
I'm very close to getting quite annoyed with this guy.
I think his weakness might be being a jackass.
Yeah, I'm this close to spitting on his shoes.
Steady on.
I think we should rename Rage and Frenzied Rage to Annoyed and Cross.
Really ticked off.
Really not happy about the situation.
This barbarian has flipped his lids.
Oh my god, what is this guy still? Why won't he die?
He's playing with us, isn't he? Playing with the food.
I know, right? I'm so frustrating. Why won't I just die?
Oh, can I ask you a question, Ravana?
You just did.
Hey, you're great. Can I ask you including this one?
My secret plan is to kill you all by being quite annoying.
I mean, we've had a lot of practice being around Jeffrey. We have quite a high tolerance for annoyance.
I mean, Jeffrey, it's no secret. You are the most powerful member of the group, Jeffrey. Why do you put up with this? True.
Well, it's, you know, sometimes leaders have got to lead from the back. Do you know what I mean?
And no one else would be friends with him. That's
why I like to just let them have their own thoughts, their own thinking, the way, you know. Actually, I just, you know, tie the group all together, make it work.
Okay, what I'm hearing is because you're weak.
Oh, okay, because that's not what I said at all. I think you're inferring exactly what you think there. Trying to
poke. I am, yeah.
I think
somebody who is sort of averse in deception and winding people up and things like that. I think that's what's going on here a little bit. And
do you think that you can beat me in a winding people up contest?
Do I think I'm more annoying than you?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, you
were made for this.
I can turn it on.
You
if
got
I need
this.
To.
I mean, how about we put some stakes? You know, put some stakes on that competition. Yeah. You know, if Jeffrey wins, maybe you, I don't know, sod off.
Yeah, sod off.
Yeah.
Sod off?
Sod off.
Oh, sod off. Sorry, I didn't quite...
The competition hasn't started yet.
You've got a stupid face. Just throwing that in there.
I mean, I think it's a pretty cool face. It's a tiger's face. Do you have a tiger's face? No, you've got the face of a warthog.
Yeah, but I've got a tiger's face back in my old home where I cut it off. Actually, I didn't do that. I love tigers. I was just trying to posture.
Was that the house that you used to share with your husband and your child before you left them forever?
I didn't leave them forever. I went to war, and when I came back, they were missing.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's just BT Dubs. I know where they are.
Well, good for you.
Would you like to know, Bagsy?
I'm sure you'll tell me to kill one of my friends. I'll find them on my own. I'm a powerful woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been like, what, 10, 15 years now since you last saw them and you've not found them? It's not a great track record. Sorry, I'm being very rude. I started the thing before we said we were going to start the thing. I'm already trying to wind you all up to kill you to death.
Where are they and what have I got to do to find out?
The order that you've asked these questions in is very backwards. One thing at a time. Hold on.
You've got backwards hands
again before. And you find yourselves in a dingy brick basement, again, underneath a spotlight. This time only one spotlight, and it's kind of patchy and flickering. Ahead of you, you can see in the crowd, chairs and audience members waiting, but only like maybe about a dozen in a room that could seat 40. It's not a well-attended gig. In front of you, a metal pole holds a strange conical device with a wiry globe on one end. Ravana stands in front of a similar pole arrangement across from you, Jeffrey Banjo. He says, "Welcome to Slam Night. In front of these 12 people, you will have to see if you can be more annoying than I, Jeffrey Banjo. If you should fail, I'll kill you. If you should succeed, I probably would still kill you. Like, I understand where we're going and, like, the narrative dramatic arc of, like, beat me in this contest of skill and I'll let you go free, but that doesn't get me what I want."
What do you really want apart from cosmic power? Is that it?
Well, I mean, you say that like that's like a small thing. Through phenomenal cosmic power, I can get anything I want. Look, for example, I want a chocolate cake. He's suddenly holding a chocolate cake. It's amazing. I want a small, adorable cat in a fireman's outfit. He holds out his other hand and he's suddenly holding a small, adorable cat in a fireman's outfit. Do you have a small, adorable cat in a fireman's outfit? No, yours is a fisherman.
Yeah, that's better.
One of those two. Suddenly he's holding an identical twin to Fishboy, your adorable cat that you rescued last adventure. I can do anything I want with phenomenal cosmic power.
That cat's not your friend.
That
cat thinks you're a prick.
Yeah, go on. Why don't you summon a mate?
Lonely old Ravana, no mates.
Is that actually why you're hanging out with us? You've got no friends of your own.
You could have just killed us, but you just need some time to be with some people, don't you?
To bond, to chat.
Aww. You're just actually quite lonely.
Yeah, that's quite sad.
Saddest thing I've ever heard, and I've listened to Jeffrey's stories every day for like 5 years.
I died, and this is sadder. This is sadder. I literally died.
I lost all my money, but this is sadder.
Maybe I lost my husband and child, and you are sadder.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. Sorry. Just a minute. Hang on. I want you to know that I eat when I upset, and it is a problem for me, and you've brought me to this. He eats the cat.
Really sad.
It's a classic bait and switch.
Did you taste that cat?
That just underlines exactly our point, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you willing to say that it's okay,
Ravana, for you to just come as you are.
Hey.
Maybe I should get rid of all of these illusions. Maybe we could like have a proper conversation face to face, and you wouldn't. Maybe you don't have to die.
If you can just summon endless cats and woods and towers, and like, I mean, it all becomes a bit meaningless, really. If you can just like, it's here, I've eaten it, you know.
It's just a worthless cycle.
It just becomes white noise after a while.
Yeah. Why don't we just all sit down, have a chat, have a cup of, like, I've got some special Penroyal tea here, and we could just, you know, it'll be great.
That smells like team spirit, that does.
That, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I can make some of my special tea. It's my specialty.
Yeah.
Hello.
And who knows, before long, our friendship might be in bloom, you know?
Is all phenomenal cosmic power ultimately meaningless without a real friend? Will our heroes befriend another horrible murderer to add to their gang of horrible murderers? Is this going to be the most disappointingly actionless boss fight of all time? Find out the answers to these questions and more in the next part of Tales of Adventure.
I am the one who is going to get the job done. Do you know how much of a promotion I am going to get for killing you? I won't just be some demonic trickster type thing. Once you're dead, I'm going to be the god of demonic trickster type things. It's going to be a whole new niche in the pantheon. Just for me.
Who are you working for? You're going to kill us. You may as well tell us everything you know.
Ha! Yeah, that's what usually happens.
As is the custom.
Exposition? Do you think I'm so stupid as to tell you my evil plot and reveal the details of my scheme just before we fight so that I can die and then you can move on, probably after a big long fight, to the next thing up and progress some sort of sorting scale of ever tougher foes so that you get gradually stronger as the people you fight get gradually stronger? That's bloody stupid. No,
as
I'm
he's
not
doing
going...
this, can we all start to like sort of move towards the trapdoor exit? As you keep sort of saying, we keep like.
You can certainly try, but as you reach it, you notice that where the trapdoor is now just solid roof of the tower.
Cool.
His tiger face smirks again.
Does he still have his Tom Selleck moustache and a tiger face?
Oh, yes.
Oh, lovely.
I'm imagining him as like a really trashy, like, playboy kind of guy. He's like, he's got all the, like a swish swimming pool. He's like, he's really rich and luxurious. And like he's wearing like a robe and like a hairy chest. I'm just imagining that.
That is pretty much it. If you imagine like Tiger Hugh Hefner with his hands on backwards, you're not far off the point. But with the mustache, the mustache is important. Yeah.
If he's got backwards hands, does that mean he can't pick things up? Are they like...
He's probably got his own special way.
No, he just needs to pick them up like on the other side. So like you, with your right hand, you would normally reach from the right to pick something up, but he uses his right hand and reaches from the left.
But what if he needs to pick something up two-handed? Like, how does he...
Cross them over.
But isn't that... Don't you get in your own way?
Sorry, are you asking him how his hands work?
You distract him, Reverend. You distract
him. Weird, isn't it?
Wait, okay, so you come to actually kill us?
That's correct, yes, so I have.
Why make us go through all of this? Up the tower and kill the...
down the tower.
To lure you into the perfect environment where I control literally everything. Behold! He waves his hand and the forest around you folds itself up and vanishes until you're just in the top of the tower and around you is simply a flat, white, infinite plain that stretches off into the distance. He waves another hand and the moon turns into the sun and suddenly it's bright as day. Here I am all powerful and I can crush you like the bugs you are. He seems to grow larger and larger as though you were using a telescope and magnifying him bigger and bigger and bigger until it seems like you are all just ants at his feet. He bends down and his face fills the sky above you as he reaches out with his weird backwards hand to menacingly threaten you with his claws. And there's nothing you can do about it. Is there indeed nothing they can do about it? What the heck am I doing throwing a ridiculously powerful creature at these chumps? Will I finally manage to kill one or more of them permanently? Find out in the next episode of Tales of Adventure!
Yes!
You've been listening to the Tales of Adventure podcast. The Dungeon Master was played by Steve Clements. Bagsy Badley by Alice Taylor Matthews. Reverend Hatchet by Tom Bridges. Trim Tosscobble by Kat Murphy. And Jeffrey Banjo by Steve Brown. Follow us on Twitter @Tales_Adventure. On Facebook @OfficialToA Show. And join us in the audience with tickets from improvtheatre.co.uk. See you next time for some more Tales of Adventure!